You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baker wasn't a miss. More in a second. The spring game for Ohio State, it's in the rearview mirror. They're like, oh, can't be driving out of the rearview mirror. Got to look out the forward stuff. Got to look out the windshield. What, Owen?
Well, objects in the rearview mirror
are closer than they appear. Spencer German, potato salad, Nick Wilson. They have the answer. Oh, that, see, that they give it to you to read. Hey, go listen to the Sons of the Shoe podcast, all right? It's for free.
We got this Buckeyes podcast.
Subscribe now at 92.3thefan.com.
Listen.
Wherever you get your pod, just put bullet points in there. Because it's like, Ohio State's spring game is in the rearview mirror. What's it going to mean for the future? Well, then it would mean that, yeah, when I say that they have the answer, then it makes sense.
They're going to play some fall games.
Does everybody else I bet everybody else just reads it right off the sheet. I don't mean to make, hey, Andy writes these things. I don't want to make his life more difficult. So you know what? That's on me. I'm just going to put down the bullet points and we're going to move on. Listen to Sons of the Shoe. Okay, good stuff. Everybody likes Sons of the Shoe. Everybody likes Nick, even though for whatever reason, he just wants to take pot shots at Tone and I. For whatever reason about the Red Panda. What did he take a shot at you for yesterday?
A number of things.
Existing.
They've called me a flip-flopper on the Cavs because I was very critical of them
during the season. Oh, you're the flip-flopper? You're the flip-flopper.
I'm still trying to figure out if we want the Cavs, if the afternoon show, I should say.
Can't not listen to Afternoon Drive because I don't know what Nick's going to say next because I don't know where he stands on anything when it comes to the Cavs. You're the flip-flopper. Here I am defending you.
I'm still trying to figure out, and I need clarity from the afternoon show, if they want the Cavs to go 7 against Orlando or not, because I've heard every side of that argument in the last week.
I've never heard it where in one sentence it's great for the Cavs that they could sweep Orlando, and then in the very next sentence, a 7-game series would be great for them. More seasoning. For a team that we argued about the injuries where apparently Nick wanted to sit Donovan Mitchell because
Shut
he was injured.
Yes.
But let's have him play a 7-game series against Orlando. That's going to look much better against going up against Boston in the second round. You're the flip-flopper. That's rich. That is rich. That is. You ain't heard that term since 1958.
Fair,
but that is one hell of a rich thing.
Yeah. Germane to what we're talking about, I have flip-flopped a little bit on Baker over the years. Didn't like the pick. Then, obviously, when he played well, I had to give him credit, and I was blown away by 2020, how he ended that year. Didn't like how he and the team tried to work through the injuries of 2021, and we all know the rest is history. He ends up leaving. He has been better than I thought he would be, but, and I got to make this clear, nowhere near what you'd want out of a number one quarterback.
No, that is true.
Number one overall pick.
I thought about another one, too. Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, I thought, was just drafted basically because he was a hometown kid and they saw him no matter what. And then they decided to pair him with Matt Canada. And guys, I'm not just ripping Matt Canada because he was in Pittsburgh. I'm telling you right now, Lyman knows a lot of football coaches, pro and college. And I do the same. I know. Congratulations on all our success. None of them say good things about Matt Canada. I remember the first time I ever heard about anything about Matt Canada, I tweeted because there was something he did when he was with Pitt. He ran this play with an offensive lineman. I think it was like a let-out pass or a leak pass for a touchdown. And I'm like, man, this is great. And immediately I got like six texts like, this guy sucks. Don't even know. Don't give him credit. He's a jerk. Do not give him any credit. I mean, personal vile things from some of the other coaches that just can't stand the guy. And I'm thinking, well, you gave Kenny Pickett Matt Canada. That sucks. And then I find out that, Kenny Pickett was just not going to dress against Seattle. Okay, well, you did yourself. You played yourself. So it's a shared thing. The Jets did not do Zach Wilson any favors. Zach Wilson doesn't do himself any favors. Baker. Did Baker need to be caring about everything that people were saying in the media about him? Did he need to care about everything in his contract, or did he need to just play football?
Well, wait a second.
Do what's right for him maybe just sit and not give them a reason to not do it.
Did it provide motivation, the chip on the shoulder? That's what fans loved about Baker. Remember that, Kenny.
If you want to sit there and create something, not you, but them, over what happened this last year, fine. But he had to be taken care of. They had to do well. He had Dave Canales with him. We'll see how he does this year. And I'm not trying to lay some gauntlet. We got our own situations that we deal with quarterbacks here. But I'm looking at it going, guys, when you work together and not everything is me versus the world, sometimes you do tend to do better. Sometimes it does work out a little bit more. With Carolina, he was just focused on getting back at the Browns. And what happened? Sucked up the room.
Oh, that was
then he had
one.
To be humiliated. Then he had to be humbled a little bit. Not humiliated, but humbled a little bit. And he went out to the Rams. And what did he do? He had a good start with Sean McVay, who knows what the hell he's doing. A la what he was dealing with when he was with the Panthers. Then he goes down to Tampa Bay. He's got some coaches he knows what he's doing with. They got a football team that has some talent. He makes the best use of his talent. All this is said, I'm not saying he's a miss according to this ESPN chart. That they have hits and misses. And I'm like, no, I don't think he's a miss. Overall in his career, it's a shared responsibility who's a hit and who's a miss. More Cavs coming up in a moment. Jim in Strongsville. Hello.
Hey, guys. Here's the problem. Everybody that takes a quarterback in the top 10 or even maybe in the first round, their hope, even though the numbers don't bear this out, this is what's hard about it. Is 90-some percent of these guys don't live up to the expectation that you think you're getting with that pick. You're expecting some guy to be elite, top of the cream of the crop.
Because guys like me keep overusing the term generational prospect,
I don't think so. I think when general managers, I mean, look, if they didn't think a guy was going to be all that, I think quarterbacks fall into three categories. Guys that have made it, and that what I mean by that is guys that can lift their team up, they're going to always be in the top of the league and whatever, placeholders, and guys that you hope are going to get into that top range. And look, if you look at it that way, look, Baker's a placeholder. Cousins is a placeholder. A lot of these guys, and I don't think it's fair to call them busts, but they're placeholders, and based on where you took them, the perception out there just of a guy that you take that high is that, oh, my gosh, I'm going to get Josh Allen. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to get Patrick Mahomes. Well, guess what? 9 out of 10 of those guys aren't going to be anywhere near that. And that's just the nature of the game. It's all a perception thing, man. It's like you think you're going to win the lottery every time you take a quarterback in the top 10.
So is he a bust or not then, Jim?
Baker?
Sorry, a miss.
I don't think bust is the right word. Do I think he lived up to the expectations? But nine out of 10 of these guys aren't going to live up to that expectation.
So he's a miss then.
He's a miss. He's a miss based on the perception, yes.
All right, Jim, thank you very much for the call.
I don't think you go 0-16 to not have that quarterback 4 years later.
That's true. Mitch, please, coming up at 9:40. So no one congratulates you for going to work. No one congratulates you for getting up in the morning. There's a lot of tough talking about the Cavs, about should we congratulate them, because it looks like this could be a sweep or a five-game series. I'm not trying to put carts before horses here, but it looks like this is definitely going to be a sweep or a five-game series. This could be our first sweep outside of LeBron ever.
Ever.
As an organization, which is, you got to think about it. There's organizations that have never completed a sweep.
The Clippers.
That's a hell of an accomplishment.
The Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies, zero sweeps.
They've had some good teams in the past. They've never had a sweep. So that's a hell of an accomplishment that you would complete a sweep without LeBron. But I think there's some people who don't want to give them credit, whether it be for the way the regular season ended, whether it be like we had Terry Pluto on. Now I keep wanting to call Terry Tito because, you got Tito on the brain and Terry. We had Terry Pluto on earlier, and Terry said that some credit's given. He doesn't care about the national perspective, and rightfully so. But, Lima, you hear some of the people nationally. I think that they are keepers of the flame of the regular season, and I think they hate it, what happened at the end of the regular season. That's exactly why they decided that they were not going to pay attention to this series. The Cavaliers haven't given them much of a reason to pay attention to the series because they've been so dominant in the first two games. But then that seems to be a reason why people don't want to give them credit for what they're doing. Like, we continuously are fighting ourselves and going in a circle of whether or not we want to give a team that we were mad at, not you, but we, were mad at a couple of weeks ago, credit for probably something they deserve. Taking care and dispatching a first-round opponent like people wanted them to.
I
think they should get credit for that.
This is when we put everything into the playoffs, and everything is supposed to mean something more come playoff time. And then when I see what the Cavs are doing, dominating, and that's pretty much what it is. I understand offensively there have been down moments, but go around in the playoffs, outside of Boston in their game one performance, who's looked better than the Cavs?
Nobody.
And who's been flawless?
Maybe Minnesota.
Yeah, but, you know, even they had some offensive issues yesterday.
True.
Like, every team has had offensive issues with the exception of Boston in their one game. Every team has had their struggles. The Denver Nuggets, they had their struggles in game two against the Lakers at home. So every team is going to go through tough sequences, tough stretches, tough quarters. The Cavs so far have been impressive. I don't think you could argue otherwise. But now I'm noticing some people don't want to give them credit because they've almost looked too good and they picked the opponent. And that, to me, I'll never understand. That seems so counterintuitive. Like, I would think in a perfect world that if you picked your opponent and it happened to be the best matchup for you, you would be called smart. You'd have laser beams drawn over your eyes in social media.
You know,
so what am
to.
I missing?
This goes back to, because we're emotional beings. Humans are emotional. Most people secretly like drama. It keeps it spicy. Remember when I said in 2017, bring on the Yankees? And my whole thing was, I want to prove that we're the best. Boy, this was a dumb thing to say.
Really dumb.
And I said, you want to prove that you're the best, beat the best. And you and Owen and Kenny looked at me like I had turds coming out of my ears. And there were people who definitely agreed with me, by the way, before that. And then they were up 2-0 in the series. I looked like a genius, and then they lost that series. And it was a harsh lesson to learn. Because remember, I wanted them to take on the Knicks. Why did I want them to take on the Knicks? Because I wanted to rub their nose in it about toughness. I was emotional. I was mad. I got to admit, this is a smart thing to do. This is the smart thing to do. You set out to do it, but you're not going to get any credit nationally. People want their credit. They want to feel emotional.
And by the way, I've seen it. JB's not getting any credit whatsoever.
Yeah, and I don't want to make the same mistake I did in 2017. Like, I don't think there's any probably about it. I think it's a smart thing. Why? I'm getting more confidence about the Cavs every minute that goes by in every game. How do I feel about Evan Mobley compared to how I felt about Evan Mobley 3 months ago? How do I feel about Jared Allen compared to how I felt about him at the end of last year? I got into arguments with people over Darius Garland again because I thought that he played a pretty good... Now, I wasn't paying full attention to the first half because I was hosting a radio show at that time, but I felt he had a pretty solid game overall. People ripped at him. We went back and forth on it. Donovan Mitchell, I think, has played very well, has looked tough, has played through the injury to the point where I think people think that that's certainly not a conversation piece anymore. And I think JB Bickerstaff, and this is going to be controversial because I think people just want him to go, I think JB Bickerstaff is out-coached Jamal Mosley. These are positive things. You can gain positive things just because you gave up 3 first-round picks for Donovan Mitchell doesn't mean you can't find the positive in this. Like, they could go and... Guys, they could go and they could get hammered by Boston in the next round, and you can get everything you want. You could get the coach gone. You could hold Kobe Altman's feet to the fire. You could still lose in 6 games and probably get all those things that you probably want. Like, sometimes in the NBA, it's just now it's time for someone new to lead this team to the next level. Maybe JB is a high mid coach. I don't mean like mid, like being goofy, like middle of the road, mid-major coach, where he can get you to this level, but he's not going to get you to that level, and we might need to go in a different direction. And if that's the case, then he's done his job, and he's done a fine job, and I can look at him and go, hey, he had a successful tenure here, that's fine. I'm willing to talk about that. I don't know if that changes anything. Does that really make an argument to say that the people who don't want JB Bickerstaff here, he has to stay just because they beat Orlando? No, guys, we're getting our cake and we're eating it too. I can give you a hell of an argument, and Lima will give you a better one, folks, about how Donovan Mitchell should really sign an extension here after they beat Orlando.
I just noticed that the Cavs, and it's bothering some people, didn't bother Terry Pluto. People are annoyed that none of the podcasts, none of the national guys, none of the big shows, whatever. None of them are talking about this Cavs Magic series, and the Cavs have looked so good that they're not going to get the credit that maybe they should get. I know the credit thing, I don't really care about that. That doesn't really matter to me. What does matter to me is seeing this team evolve, seeing this team get better.
Yeah.
And while JB, I know Owen might want to mention something about this because I saw you kind of bristled when I said JB's getting none of the credit.
Save that for next segment.
But over Jamal Mosley, Mosley was a Coach of the Year candidate. And so far, I mean, I can start to enumerate the different things that I've seen out of JB Bickerstaff. But in the end, they'll just say, well, the Cavs have the better players, which is true, which is probably why Joe Mazzulla doesn't get any credit with Boston Celtics because they have the better players every single game. That's typically how it works.
216-474-0092. Do the Cavs get credit for beating Orlando, or do you believe that people are holding back credit because they don't want JB to stick around? They don't want certain players to stick around. They want to force that change that they think they're going to get maybe when the Cavs beat Boston. I think there's definitely credit due here. I think there's growth here. 216-474-0092. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, do you think the Cavs should get credit for beating Orlando on the Fan?
Ken Carmen, quarterbacks, the official Cleveland Browns radio draft coverage Thursday and Friday night. Listen for
Fatty, Fatty, Boombalatti, quarterbacks it.
As Ken will be on during the Cavs game. Listen for appearances by the entire broadcast team, including Jim Donovan, during round one. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to our coverage on the smart speakers or on the go, whenever and wherever you are.
Well, apparently a lot of people are going to be not able to watch that game tomorrow.
Still?
I don't know. Are we getting something figured out?
Working on it. We are working on
it. Mitch, by the way, who I put him in a bad spot because he's up there in the newsroom, so he can't hear me. Mitch said, and now he's walking down the hallway, so he really can't hear me.
Yeah, he'll hear it.
Were there people blacked out in Milwaukee?
Yes.
Milwaukee, yes.
Yes, there were. They were none too happy. Apparently, they weren't paying attention to what was happening in Cleveland the night before. They would have known.
They should have known. You know, Chicago rips us off, and Pittsburgh rips us off, and Baltimore rips us off. Milwaukee doesn't rip us off.
You've got to let them know.
Apparently, you do.
About the blackout.
Yes, you do. So, yeah, if you're blacked out and you can't watch the Cavs, then, yeah, go on ahead. Or if the game gets out of hand and the Cavaliers are kicking so much ass and taking so many names, come on over. It'd be a good time. Hang out in your garage. Listen to us talk about these picks. Crack a few cold ones. Maybe start a fire out there in the driveway. A bonfire, not just setting things on fire. I mean, that's what I do, but you guys can do it differently.
That's later in the playoffs.
Yeah, you guys have respect for your neighbors. I don't. And, you know, enjoy some good, solid draft talk. Some good, solid wide receiver conversation. Very good stuff. Intelligence is what's going to go on tomorrow night and Friday. That's going to be some good stuff. All right. Do the Cavs get credit for beating Orlando?
So, obviously, they are getting credit for me, but I definitely see people out there who are in my mentions telling me it's Orlando. Who cares? You engineered this. You can get your pitiful,
then tell us on the
pathetic
air.
One playoff series win.
All right, then be tough talking and tell us on the air.
Well, I don't even think it's pathetic Orlando. I would say if the Cavs, for some reason, said, we think Boston's the weakest team, even though they've won the most games all year. We want Boston. We're dropping all the way down to face Boston in the first round and get it over with, and then it'll be smooth sailing. I would say, well, then, yeah, there's no credit here because you've gotten what you picked. I am impressed by the amount of points they have, or the lack of points that Orlando has scored, I guess, in this. Well, the first two games.
And defenses tend to lock down. Scoring tends
to win championships.
Tends to go down. Defenses win championships, according to everybody's uncle. I'm trying to be measured because I don't want to act too overly excited because you got me so worked up last week, got me so spun up, is I don't want to act too overly excited and then, what, lean too negative if they go out there and they don't do particularly well against Boston. Like, I think now, it's where you kind of see the forest for the trees and go, all right, they're not as bad as what we make them out to be. They might not be as good as what we make them out to be, but they're there. So now what do we do to add? And so now I look at this and go, now I can start to see it and I can make a decision with a clear conscience on what needs to be done next. I'm not just going to move on from, like, at the end of last year, I'm not just talking about trading Jared Allen just because I'm mad that he said the lights were too bright. You know? I'm not just going to trade Darius Garland because he got slapped in the face and he's hesitant. Now, that's a conversation, but I'm not just going to be mad about it. And Evan Mobley, okay, he might not be Victor Wembanyama. Who is? Well, I'm not just going to trade away Evan Mobley and restart this whole thing because he's not Wemby. 216-474-0092. I think what this does is it does buy some understanding. I would like to hear from Kobe Altman more, but also I can see it right here in front of us. Let me get to Jeff in University Heights. You're next up on The Fan. Hello.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Tony, my fellow OSU alum. I give them credit, but I see why.
Jeffrey Dahmer went to OSU.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So, and so did I. But
there you go.
Don't hold it against the university because I went there too.
Right.
But I give them credit, but I can see why nationally they're not getting credit for the reasons you just illustrated. It is perceived nationally, and somewhat by me too, that it's a weak move when you purposely choose your opponent. Now, Ken, you said in the last segment that that's true when you do that because you set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't think winners duck. And that comes back. That can come back to bite you too. The Milwaukee Bucks are a prime example that 2 years ago, they played a game against the Cavs, ironically, the last game of the year. They sat all their starters because they didn't want to get the two seed because they wanted to duck the Brooklyn Nets that year because they barely beat Brooklyn the year before that. So Boston went out that same day and played all their starters against Memphis, blew Memphis out. Boston got the two seed. And then in the Eastern Conference Finals in Game 7 between Milwaukee and Boston, that game, which would have been in Milwaukee had they played their players the last game of the year, wound up being in Boston. Boston blows them out and goes to the finals. So that can come back to backfire on you. Why the Cavs wanted to be in the Boston side of the bracket, I don't know. I don't know who ordered the cold red the last game of the year. I would love to know that and love to know the reasoning behind it.
I don't even want to say this out loud because I don't want to give anybody who might be listening down the street, I don't want to load their lips for explaining away what the season is. Right, Jeff? But I'm going to say it. There is something where you can learn in a series against Orlando what you need to win a series in the future against a Boston, a Philly, on Miami. Miami might be on their last legs. I mean, Lyman, what you said about Jimmy Butler yesterday, that might be true. But you get what I'm saying. Against a real contender. Like, we think we're on our way to being contenders. We thought we were contenders. And, you know, I might have had to face a harsh reality there, Jeff. But I can learn in a series against Orlando, because if they would have went out and just got smacked around and Jared Allen would have shrunk and Evan Mobley would have shrunk, then it would have been like, all right, we got ourselves a big problem. And if I'm Kobe Altman, I might not even be here to fix this thing. Or now, all right, these guys have stepped up. Evan's more aggressive. Now I have to figure out what moves to make so we can compete with a team like Boston. And remember, they have a first-round pick this year. They will not next year because of the Stepien rule.
Right. And to your point, the Boston series hopefully looming. You know, I'm not one to do the proverbial count your chickens before they're hatched yet. They still got to win two more games in this series, assuming that they do. With that series looming, the main issue in that series, as I see it, is matchups. The Cavs have matchup issues, especially because of Porzingis. Had Boston not had Porzingis, you could probably put Mobley on a Tatum or a Brown. Now Mobley has to guard Porzingis, which then means that you're going to go run Max Strus or Isaac Okoro or a combination of players to run at Tatum and Brown. You're lacking there. And then on the other end of the floor, Derek White and Jrue Holiday are the best, without question, tandem of defensive guards in the league. They'll probably throw Tatum on Donovan Mitchell
I'll tell you that. And Jeff, you make good points. Now, we got plenty of time to get into that, and we will. And thank you very much for the call. But I do think it goes back to what can we learn about Orlando, or what can we learn about ourselves in an Orlando series. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
If you were hoping to end up one way or another with the Boston Celtics, can't you make the argument that I'm about to make, which is this is the time you would want to get them, because if they get through this series healthy, the Cavs I'm talking about.
Well, you can just talk yourself into anything.
Absolutely. So you'd get to them at this point healthy. Can you imagine if the Cavs, what they would look like if they got bloodied in a 7-game series against, say, the Knicks? Like, I know what you'd say. Well, they won 2 playoff series. Congratulations. Okay, we would be excited about getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's all we would say. Eastern Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals. You'd have no shot against the Knicks then, against the Boston Celtics, would you? Like, what I'm open for is that Boston, if everything goes the way it's going, Boston makes quick work of their first round series against Miami Heat, who obviously don't have their best player and Jimmy Butler, that they're going to come flying high, overconfident, that if you were ever to get them, this is when I would want them. Because the Cavs are looking like they'd get through this series in 4 games and healthy. Why would I want to tax our guys even that much more before playing Boston? Just so I can say we went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Okay, we would be excited about that. But we'd be no closer to getting past the Boston Celtics in the offseason. We wouldn't be like, yeah, we were this close. No, we would probably get run off the court against the Boston Celtics by that time.
Exactly. What is also the stark reality of what you brought up about the Eastern Conference? Like, it looked like the Western Conference was dominant for what seemed like 30 years. I know that they didn't win every championship, but the conference in general seemed like it was the best for it felt like 30 seasons. And then for a few years, it seemed like the East had surpassed the West. Now, I mean, you brought up the Western Conference. Where would the Cavs be in the Western Conference this season? It would be a very taxing argument to make. But the Eastern Conference, I think there is something true, Anthony, where they might just be better than Orlando, and you might look at it now, and Boston might just be better than you. Or are they always going to stay together? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe that triumvirate there in Boston is going to stay around forever, some way, somehow, and we're just going to run into them just like people thought that we might run into Golden State. We'll see how that goes, right? However, you can, and you can see this, and this is maybe an excuse. We'll find out, because they could just look like they don't have any moves. They can't do anything. But I can learn something in a series against Orlando, and then I can learn something in a series against Boston to help me for my future. Because Evan's still 22 years old. Donovan, we got to have a conversation about him. Can I play well enough against Boston that I can have a conversation with Donovan without being a homer and give him a reason to stay around? We're trying to juggle a lot of things. He wants to be a contender. We want him to be a contender. You might not just be able to get past Boston. That might just be part of it. Yeah, you were about to say something.
Well, I just wonder, are the underlying thing that's the offseason thing for the Cavs, right, is Donovan Mitchell and his contract. Doesn't He's the one that came out and said their Eastern Conference finals are finals. That's the goal, right?
Yes, yes.
So the easier route to me would be not playing Boston in the second round to get to the Eastern Conference finals or the finals to get Donovan Mitchell to resign here.
Because there's
a lot of little nooks and crannies in this, right?
Yeah.
If we don't think we're going to win this year anyway, I think the priority would be keeping Donovan Mitchell around then.
Can I ask a stupid question?
What?
What if the Cavs? I love this argument, Owen, and in fact, during portions of the year, I was looking at where Boston was and trying to figure out whether it made sense to kind of toe that line of winning or losing. And right. I said, up in the last week of the season, I threw my hands up in the air. I'm like, I have no idea what these teams above us are going to do or below us. Remember, Orlando had a chance at one point to be the 2 seed.
Yes.
They had a rough last 3 weeks of the season. What if the Cavs would have been sitting there as the 2 seed all along where, you know, you understand, or should I say they were in the 3 seed situation, but you were worried about health and all of that. Would it have made sense to stay there and to keep that to keep that thought process, or falling back and then having the chance again based on the last game of the year, where it was vice versa, where it is now?
Would it be to stay there?
Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, in this situation, if we would have kept all our starters in to win that game against Charlotte in the last game of the year, and we would have, you know, won that game and then gotten into that better bracket, but a worse first-round series. I'm looking at it the total opposite way, where instead we would have had a worse first-round matchup, but a better second-round matchup. Would that have made sense to you?
It probably would have, I think, but
there's just a lot of heavy lifting here because we had other teams to worry about that final day of the year. You had all these games on Sunday. Remember, nobody played on Saturday. All the teams played on Sunday. It wasn't like the Cavs knew for sure that winning that game against Charlotte was going to get them a certain path.
That's true. But I also believe that a lot of people—
Because you were relying on other teams.
A lot of people right now are at a crossroads with this organization because it has been 6 years of this build of since LeBron, of what is Darius Garland. I mean, at one point you had Steph Curry saying he was the next best thing coming up. You have Evan Mobley, who was the unicorn. Yeah, Jared Allen has been a tremendous, tremendous piece for what we use him for. And then you go out and you get Donovan Mitchell. So now I think we're at a crossroads of who are we? So you win a first-round series, and some people might think it's empty calories in a month, depending on how you play Boston. But then you would add a first-round series possibly against one of these other Titans if you would have tanked it out or, pulled back a little bit and maybe saved Donovan Mitchell a little bit. But then you lose a first-round series, and I can't just throw up my arms and go, well, ho-hum, you lost to Boston or you lost to Milwaukee when you lost in the first round last year, and that's not going to make anybody happy. So it does go with the old saying of winning is going to keep everybody employed. The final score is going to keep everybody employed, no matter what I might think of style points. 216-474-0092. Coming up next, Mitch, what do you got?
A car went through a Dunkin' Donuts, and a kid had something very interesting to say about it.
Mitch, please, and the worst television show I've ever seen. Next on The Fan. Before Mitch, please, I do a lot of sitting with Liz, and there's just shows that happen around me. I think every American husband, boyfriend, does the same thing. And there's shows that, we watch these shows together. No, I look at my phone, and you watch it, or she brings it, like she sits down in the chair next to my desk in my office and she turns it on my TV and I just work at my desk and do whatever. And usually I can deal with it. Sometimes I get into them. I told you, Dawson's Creek, pandemic came, brother, I was in. I got involved in Dawson's Creek. And the writing on that, some of that stuff is wild. Boy, Pacey was living the dream. That's all, I'll leave it there. And there's a lot of shows that I can just kind of, like, she had the Gilmore Girls on, and I'm kind of, like, paying half-assed attention, whatever, here and there. She had on Grey's Anatomy. Now, I've been able to avoid Grey's Anatomy, like The Matrix and getting shot at. I've been able to avoid Grey's Anatomy as an American male, as a millennial, for my entire dating, now married life. And it finally caught up with me, and I'm sitting through this show. It's the worst show I've ever seen. I cannot believe this show is, and I've seen a lot of bad television. I've seen a lot of bad TV, bad movies. I've done a lot of bad radio. I've never seen a show so overacted, so terrible in my life.
Is the writing any good?
I'm sure it is. It's just so overbearingly overacted.
Why has it been on so long?
I don't know.
It's been on like 20 years, right?
But it's an ABC show, right? And what was that show they had with Kerry Washington back in the day? Was it Scandal, I think it was called?
Scandal.
Yeah, Liz watched that, and I thought that was a bad show because every person had this great big... They would get out there, and they would basically do a Braveheart speech. Every character in a show, in an episode, they would do it.
That sounds very Sorkin-esque, like all his shows were so driven by speeches, and soliloquies.
I'm sitting there going...
Well, West Wing, I mean.
And she's,
it's a whole show, yeah.
She's got this show, and I'm like, how could you deal with this pap? It's so bad. God, I can't stand this show. I can usually find the redeeming qualities of everything, and I can't. Every minute is the worst minute of my life when this show is on around me. Is there any way I can get her to get off this show?
Well, I think...
Because there's 20 seasons of this. I go, there's no way I'm sitting through it. This will cause a divorce.
This is one of the most important facets I'm finding in my marriage, Kenny, is not like finding common ground on a politician or finding a common ground on something with the city or the town, and we've got to come to grips with this or how we're going to raise our kid. I think the most important thing, what do you do every night before you go to bed? You watch TV with your wife. I mean, that's what I end up doing. We get very little time to do it. And so finding common ground on what we're going to watch, like I have to concede that there are things that I'm not going to like, but is it at least meet the criteria of something I'd be remotely interested in? Unfortunately, over the last 6 months, I've been watching a lot of Sex and the City because of it.
All right.
And you know what? I'm watching
That's
the show.
Sexy.
There's clever writing. There is a humor to it. It's not exactly my humor, but at least I can acknowledge, all right, I understand why this show was so successful and why it was very influential for many years.
Yeah. Like I can find redeeming qualities of just about anything, and I can't do it here.
I do not have this problem.
What, she just watches everything
she,
you want to watch?
That's the one thing, and I actually thought it would be a problem when we first met. She does not watch TV. She never really did. She watched home improvement, HGTV type of shows, and that was it. And listening to you guys, I am so glad we did during the pandemic. She tried to get me to watch One Tree Hill because that was her favorite show when she was a high schooler / got out of high school, and I watched it for a season or two, and I said, this basketball is not realistic.
You stayed a whole season?
Yeah, because they played a lot of basketball, and then they got away from the basketball, and I wasn't about that.
You're telling the writers, learn hoops.
The finale of season one, they actually had a chance to improve their position in the ranking, and they tanked a game, and I was out.
I hate you. Mitch, please.
Oh, my sister actually watched One Tree Hill. I like to make fun of her for it. So our clip today comes from WPRI near Providence. A car crashed into a Dunkin' Donuts in the town of Cranston yesterday morning. Police say that the driver had his learner's permit and was learning how to drive. That's not the big story. When the car went into the building, there was a woman who worked in there whose son, Brian Haybaum, told 12 News that she wasn't hit. Nobody was injured during all this.
Good.
Brian said, quote, I'm happy she didn't get hit. That would not have been good. I think they said it was a car malfunction, unquote. And then he ended his interview by saying this.
I was just like, America doesn't just run on Dunkin', cars do too.
And I can't tell if it's funny or dark, or a botched delivery, maybe all three.
How old's the kid who said that?
15, I believe.
Yeah, there is no darker humor than a 15-year-old in America. Lima, as a former 15-year-old, you as well, Owen, you as well. How dark was your sense of humor when you were 15? Darker than it is now?
I think it's where it started, probably.
Yeah. Oh, mine was younger. There's not a lot of differences between you and me.
I want to know when he wrote this, because he's been sitting on that, just waiting. He knows mom works at Dunkin'. I'm going to get an opportunity.
Has he been sitting outside that Dunkin' Donuts
waiting,
day after day?
And then mom texted, probably while he was still in school, and said, hey, car ran through the front, wall.
Got to communicate. It's a big part of
this. And he said, this is my opportunity. I got to get down there and deliver the famous line.
I was just like, America doesn't just run on Dunkin'. Cars do too.
Okay, he definitely said that 8 times over before he...
Oh, yeah.
He said it to plenty of people, and then he went to say it on TV because you could tell he almost botched it. So he's nervous. But he's only a 15-year-old kid.
The punchline was coming, and you start to giggle on the punchline. Yeah.
There you go. All right, Mitch, good call, buddy. Well done. That was fun. That was nice. All right, big thanks to everybody who joined us today. Bob Haney, Chris Muller, James Rapine, also the great Terry Pluto, which I felt bad I accidentally clicked the button right as he was saying his goodbye. I really do. Terry's a legend. I feel bad.
Terry says he doesn't care about the national media, what they say about the Cavs.
Doesn't.
We have a lot of fans that say they don't care, but boy, do they care.
Terry's one of the only people I actually believe.
Yeah, I do believe it.
Because, I mean, he's had a pretty legendary career. He's been in documentaries. He's written several books. Like,
yeah, why would he care?
I really don't think he cares.
They made major motion pictures based on one of his books.
Major motion pictures, the thick com, the dead air. Right, we're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. We got the draft tomorrow. As if you care, we got the draft tomorrow. We have Game 3 tomorrow. Should say Game 3 tomorrow and then the draft. There we go. And, of course, the Gardos play tonight. We're looking for 6 in a row, right? I think it's 6 in a row. Yeah. Very good. All right. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitchapalooza, for his sister, for the Slippery Wizard Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carmen. I don't know why my voice cracked. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Go Gardos.
I don't know why my voice is raising like this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.